They shuffled across the tiled courtyard, blinking owlishly into a square where a crowd of merchants and curious townspeople had already gathered. The manacles were unlocked. To their consternation, they were then ordered to remove their clothes. They protested at this, clasping their bodies defensively, but only drawing the wrath of the guards who moved in with whips and fists. After a brief commotion in which several captives received a painful reminder of who was running the proceedings, they were forced to obey. Shame-faced, they began to strip. Within a few minutes, they were standing naked in a line. The morning was extremely hot, and their sweating, milk-white bodies gleamed in the sun like polished ivory, much to the crowd's mirth. Brannan burned with shame. They didn't allow him to keep even the barest shred of clothing, and they made him stand with his hands by his sides so that he couldn't cover his dignity. He was aware of the scrutiny of 1,000 foreign strangers over his body, and his face reddened at the humiliation of it. But the real humiliation was yet to come. The captives were made to run around in a circle a number of times, to hop, skip, and roll so that their physical fitness could be judged. They were harried like cattle onto rickety wooden podiums, and a mob of men in flowing robes came forward. Brannan guessed these to be the buyers. They were a boisterous lot. With rough, greedy hands, they assessed the goods on offer, poking their fingers into ears and under tongues and counting teeth. Brannan's blood rose as 4 chattering Arabs groped his flanks and thighs. He swore and tried to bite one of them, and he received a clatter from a guard in retort. In the corner of his eye, he was sickened to see the children being subjected to every kind of lurid examination, boys and girls as young as 9. The boys were forced to bend over and display their bare buttocks for the benefit of several leery-eyed men, while the girls had to allow their most intimate regions to be fingered and probed so that the buyers could be satisfied of their virginity. His stomach turned as he imagined what lay in store for the youngsters, condemned to see out their childhoods as playthings for these lecherous brutes. The captives were in varying states of well-being, some thoroughly emaciated, skin grey and limbs brittle, and the buyers quickly separated the quality from the substandard. Brannan found, to his dismay, that he was among the 6 or 7 most highly prized in the group. They crowded around him, and the competition became spirited. They growled and spat at each other, gesturing wildly, rolling their eyes to heaven. There was a whiff of violence in the air, yet somehow they were managing to reach agreements. As deals were struck, hands were clasped, and captives led away. Brannan was herded in with a large group of males and a smaller number of young women, a variety of nationalities and skin colours. A plump, sweaty-faced man in a gold turban and an embroidered robe emerged as their buyer. He was admiring them with a proprietor's avarice, his beady, suspicious eyes darting from one to another. Once the slaves were secured, he began to speak, first in a language Brannan couldn't understand, then in English.
"Slaves and infidels, I am Abdullah El Karouche. Today you are most fortunate, for you have become the property of His Royal Highness Moulay Yazid, Sultan of Morocco. May Allah's blessings be upon him forever. Now and for many years to come, you will atone for your wicked lives, serving His Excellency in the great imperial capital of Fez. Allahu Akbar!"
The title of Moulay before his name, El Garouj later explained, reverently signified that Yazid was a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. Brannan was not impressed, however. These people were madmen. He had to get away, and soon. Once they reached their next stop, an opportunity would surely...